Welcome back to Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Galatson of Texas Longhorns on SI. And, of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text line's open, 512-222-9328. And over there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube. Matt, getting into hour two. We're going to ask you, keep sending in your awards. We got a few on the text line I'll get to in just a second. If they're sending in the awards of what you think are the players of the year and what they did, we've got a couple on the text line. We've got here one is the Boomer Bust Award for Jack Hendry's. there was a few busts, but the Boomer Bust Award for Jack Hendry's. I like that.
That's a good one.
And Johnny Longhorn says the record maker of the year, Arch Manning with three different types of touchdowns versus Arkansas.
That's a good one too.
Yeah, that's fun to remember. It's fun to remember him just dominating in that Arkansas game. But that Arkansas defense was not very good, was it, man? That was a fun one to be able to get to do. So keep throwing those in there. We'll keep getting back to them. If you have more of the awards here for the Texas Longhorns football team, since we don't have much football happening this weekend, much college football. Next week we'll get in the playoffs, but this week I thought we talk about the team a little bit more. The Doug says the best moment was when they trolled Elko at the end of the game. At the stadium. Yeah, that's great. Remember, they did it with Brett Yormark as well. And Joey McGuire, I think they did it with the Big 12. They did it with Brett Yormark when he said about Texas Tech and Lubbock. It's like it runs through. And then Joey McGuire says the road runs through Lubbock. All that stuff. They love putting that stuff up on the Tron after a win. It's one of those ones, you know, is real sad when you lose and you're like, all right, delete file, pretend that we didn't have that one ready to go. But luckily, a lot more wins at home than losses. Matt, before we get to Matt's bourbon, go ahead.
Real quick. How about just an honorary award for another player in college football? The best name in college football award.
Yeah.
I just saw this. This player entered the transfer portal, I believe yesterday. Bowling Green linebacker Gideon ESPN Lampron. He had 119 tackles, 17 and a half tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles this season.
That is that's a name right there. That's a name. Speaking of names, I was going to say this before we get to Matt's Bourbon Banter. My dad texted me today, and I, like, you know, in a text message, you just see like the thing before you go into it and you see like just a little piece. And so the text was just like, so we know that Hill's gone and now Moore. And I was like, what? And so then I immediately, before I even look at the text message, like Google DeAndre Moore, and I'm looking on Twitter. I'm like, did I miss something about DeAndre Moore that he's like in the portal or he's going to go in the draft? And then I realized Trey Moore had declared for the draft today, which was great for Trey Moore declaring, but he's out of eligibility. So no big shocker that Trey Moore had declared. But I was like, oh, was like, he scared me for a minute that I was like, oh no, did DeAndre Moore make a decision already before the bowl game, before everything else? No, it's Trey Moore declared for the draft. I think yesterday, last night, maybe Trey Moore declared for the draft, which is great. He should. He couldn't come back to Texas anymore, so he should declare for the draft. But he does make the second Longhorn who has declared for the draft now is Trey Moore. So mentioning that as well, somebody who had some good years. He was a slow starter. Maybe he wins a slow starter award. It just feels like both years he was at Texas, it didn't feel like he had a good feel for the game, Matt, until he got to like, you know, maybe week 5 or 6. And then all of a sudden he really started to pick it up and started to make more plays. And at the end of the season, he was really good, but both years, it kind of felt like he was a little bit of a slow starter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that. For some players, it's just that way. I feel like, he came on when it mattered. So I think that's what's most important.
I agree. Like, it's not a shot at Trey Moore. It was just every year you see, like, right when people start to be like, I don't know about Trey Moore, then he would be good. We had him right into the moment.
I don't know why it was that way. I feel like this season it probably had a little bit to do with the fact that they were trying to play him at multiple positions.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, he's going to play in the NFL regardless, so he'll be all right.
There we go. All right, every week here on the show, and now we've done it a bunch of times, so it is getting harder for Matt to find the bourbon. We're going to have to send him a story. Hopefully, again, if you want to get him some bourbon for Christmas, you could help out. And, you know, if you're a bourbon company and want to send him some for Christmas, it is the season of giving, and giving bourbon is a very thoughtful gift. But Matt puts together a selection of bourbon for us every week to help us be a little more cultured. Instead of just being a beer drinking guy like me, you can get a little culture and a little taste in your life with Matt's Bourbon Banter. What do you got for us this week, Matt?
Well, my parents might think I'm an alcoholic because I'm sitting here drinking a Coors Original, and I've got a bottle of bourbon here as well that I'm about to talk about. But yeah, if you want to send me a bottle of bourbon to review, I will. You can DM me on X, and
into his DMs.
And I will send you my mailing address, which is not my physical address. So don't try to come by my house because it's not the same address, just so you know. Today for you, I have got Weller Antique 107. It is out of the Sazerac Company and the Buffalo Trace Distillery in Louisville, Kentucky. W.L. Weller is one of the most well-known brands there is in the bourbon game. It's one of my favorites as well. This one, by the name, you can tell is 107 proof. The mash bill is undisclosed, but from Buffalo Trace, there is wheated in the mash bill. There it could be a little corn, wheat, and malted barley, but that is not official. The price points, it's pretty affordable. It's only $50, unlike some of the other Wellers out there. If you look for it online, you know, it could end up being something a little bit more, somewhere around $60, but you're going to be able to find that fairly regularly, and you won't be breaking the bank for it either. But W.L. Weller is a wheated bourbon originally created by the Stiltzler Weller Distilling Company. The brand is named after William LaRue Weller, a distiller who is credited by some as being the first to use wheat as the secondary grain in estate bourbon, opposed to the more commonly used rye. Notably, William LaRue Weller hired the famous Julian Van Winkle, who would later be known as Pappy Van Winkle. He began his career working for Weller. Weller passed in 1899, and coincidentally, his company, W.L. Weller & Sons, later merged with the A.P.H. Stitzel Distillery, which was owned by his former employee, Pappy Van Winkle. sorry, that always gets me. But the nose, it's aromas of, you know, kind of some dark fruit, some vanilla and some caramel, oak as always. And, it's got a little bit of cinnamon in there as well. It's a bit complex, but it's very balanced as well. The palate, you really start to get that cinnamon at the beginning, and it's followed by those dark fruits and the oak in there as well. And then for the finish, that cinnamon really hits you again, and you get the caramel and vanilla at the back end of it. And there's a little bit of a tobacco kind of flavor on the finish as well, but it's very pleasant. It's very good. It's very smooth. It's one of many elite releases by Weller. I've reviewed a couple of these on the show already, including Weller 12 and Weller Full Proof. This is probably my third favorite in the line behind those two, but it still is a very, very solid bourbon. I would give it a 7.8 on my scale, which is above great and just below excellent. So a really, really good bottle there. Weller Antique 107. Go get you some. It's anytime you got some Weller on your bar, you can have a conversation about it. So
there you go.
It's a good one.
I like that, Matt. Conversation bourbon. You need some conversation bourbon every once in a while. Classing up the show here on a Friday for Matt wins the award for drunkest co-host. with his Coors and his bourbon. He's not too drunk, guys. We're just playing. We appreciate you there with Matt's Bourbon Banter, Matt. It's a good thing to have here on a on a Friday afternoon and get you ready for the weekend when there's not as much football going on. Maybe the weather's a little bit colder and you want to go enjoy yourself a nice bourbon. You can go ahead down to the store and get yourself some that Matt selected. And you go back on any of our Friday shows, you'll see Matt's Bourbon Banter, and you get to get a selection if you've been paying attention all year.
Here's something that if anybody would like me to do, I can do very easily. I can put all of my bourbons that I have reviewed so far onto a list and release that on social media, or I can put it up on the show, something like that. I've got them listed in a Google Doc here, so it'd be super easy for me to do. If you ever decide you want to go out and try yourself a bottle of one of these, just let me know and I'll make that happen.
There you go. I love it. All right, Matt. I want to get into our picks here in a minute, but let's start by talking about Texas basketball tonight, because we don't want to miss this. Texas basketball tonight taking on UConn. This is a scary game. This is a scary game. This is a UConn team who is very, very good. This is a UConn team that plays really good defense. Terrace Reed Jr. was injured for a few games. He missed five games. He's back. So he is now ready to go, which you would have loved to take out a guy who averages almost 15 points a game and almost 8 rebounds a game, and almost 2 blocks a game. So all of that you love to not have in there. He's going to be there. Solo Ball is a guy who can score a ton. He averages 15 points a game. They've got a lot of talent. They play really, really stifling defense, and they can spread the ball around on offense. Not elite offensively, but they basically are holding teams to about 60, 62 points a game, and they're scoring about 80 a game. So for Texas, tonight's game entirely falls into, can you score? Because we know you can't play defense. You're not all of a sudden going to be a really good defensive team, and you're going to win this game 64 to 60. That ain't happening. If you win this game, it's because you scored 90 points. Like, that is how you win this basketball game, is you shoot the ball, lights out, you run the ball, you throw it into Modest, you get him in foul trouble, you do those types of things, then you're going to be able to have a shot in this game. The problem with that is that's really, really hard to maintain for two halves. When I say four quarters, because they should go to quarters, because, come on, we're adults.
College basketball, please go to four quarters. It is my last best plead to you. It's absurd that we play two halves instead of four quarters.
Just want to be different. But two halves, and they just haven't been able to do that. And so I don't, like, this is one, I just don't really see the path to Texas winning this game, unfortunately. I mean, I know what the path is, which is rebound the ball and hit threes. And you know, trying him in foul trouble as we can. But it's hard to do that for a half. It's harder to do it on the road. It feels like this is a game that could be 55 to 85. If Texas just doesn't show up. I think there are other ways, but like, we just know how good they are. I think you're hoping more that this is a Duke-ish game, where you're in it in the first half and you're playing well and you're able to kind of slow them down a little bit and stay in it. And then in the second half, things fall where they do, but you're at least in the game. You just can't allow them to come out and completely stifle your offense. You have to keep moving the ball. You have to take shots when they're open. This offense gets so stagnated sometimes that they're waiting for something to pop open and it's not there. Like, Cam Heidi's a dude. He's a pretty good 3-point shooter, but he takes them from 7 feet behind the 3-point line for some reason, because they're open, or he gets an open one and he passes on it and holds the ball and doesn't get the shot up. And you're like, we're not going to get a better look than what you just had. So we know their struggles defensively. So we know that, but Texas can score. Texas can run and gun. Texas has that ability. The problem is you're going up against a really good defensive team. So you need performances from Dalen Swain. You need a Tramone Mark game. In this, you need Mark to be able to put up some points for you. You need Jordan Pope to be able to get hot in a point and hit two or three threes in a row. You know, you need all of those things to go together. And then you can say on the back end, Kendall Weaver and you know, and Modest can't get in foul trouble. They're going to go right at him. Because if they get Modest out of this game early, again, 55 to 85. Like, is bad at that point if Modest is out. But you just kind of want to go downhill against this team, try and push up against them. They've got a bunch of guys who can score. They have a bunch of guys. There's nobody elite on this team either that's necessarily going to just jump off the page and they're just going to feed him the rock over and over. But they don't have to. And your defense is not so good that anybody has to against you. So for Texas, they're going to have to figure out a way to score the basketball on UConn to stay in this game. Because if you score under 70, you lose this game. If you score 80, you're in it. If you score 90, there's a chance you win.
Yeah, so in terms of Tramone Mark, who I think has to be an X factor in this game if you're going to be successful, the four toughest games and the four biggest games that Texas has played this season have been against Duke, Arizona State, NC State, and UVA. He has gone into double figures once, and that was against Arizona State. He had 11. Against Duke, he had 2 points.
Yep.
NC State, he had 5, and UVA, he had 9. So he's got to show up.
Yep.
If he doesn't show up, I don't think they have a chance. I like Tramone Mark. I'm not trying to make shade against Tramone Mark because I like him, but he's kind of been a bust since he's, especially this season for Texas. So he needs to turn on the switch or figure out a way to get involved in the offense because he's not taking a ton of shots in these big games either. I think he took 8 against UVA. He took 5 against NC State. He took 5 against Arizona State. He took 2 against Duke. So he needs to get more involved, I believe, and hit some shots if they're going to have a chance.
The thing with Tramone Mark is I don't know if his basketball IQ works fast enough in this Sean Miller offense. So he can do what he's supposed to do, but he doesn't know when to take that extra move and get to the bucket or, you know, get that shot off. And that's where he just needs to improve. And that's with time. It's all you can really do. I know it's a new system for him. He's had to learn a bunch of new systems. He went from Houston to Arkansas to Texas under Rodney Terry and now Texas under Sean Miller. He's been in a lot of different systems. So the question is, how fast can he learn that? There's just a lot of things that got to go right for Texas to be able to be in this game. But this is, again, a very young team in the season, not necessarily age-wise, but in the season and a new coaching. So I'm curious to see how much fight there is in them tonight, how much they're able to go in there, how much defense they do end up trying to play. Where do they try and go with that? You know, we've heard from Sean Miller that the starting lineup is not set, but there's like 8 guys who are playing right now, maybe 9. And I don't know how much more you're really going to be able to change that lineup with 8 to 9 guys playing. So it's going to be a very informative, learned game tonight for us. So we can start to figure out, is this Texas team completely outmatched? Or against Duke, where they did get blown out in the second half, but that was also, there was some shadiness in the second half of that Duke game because they really wanted to get Cam Boozer started. And so they started calling a bunch of fouls. And so it was like, and they called him both ways, but it was just because Texas keeps fouling. And so they got to stop fouling to get out of these things. And they just tried to get Cam Boozer because they shut Cam Boozer down in the first half of that Duke game. And then he started going in the second half, and that kind of changed the tide. Can they have at least another half like that? And then, because if you have halves like that, at least there's something to build on. But if they just run you the whole game, like Virginia did. Virginia, you didn't play have any good minutes. So even if you lose this game, you need to have some good minutes to build on. Because, again, we know this year ain't the year for Texas basketball. Could they make the tournament? Yeah, but this ain't the year for Texas basketball. So you want to see them start to build. Some of the young guys maybe start to figure things out. Sean Miller start to figure out Austin, maybe get some fans to show up at these games as the season goes on, because right now there's not a ton of interest in it. But all of that, it's going to be a tough one tonight. It's going to be on a big stage. UConn fans are going to be going nuts because they don't care if Texas is not good. You're still beating Texas. Like, and I get that they don't care that you're not a basketball school. You're still beating the brand of Texas is enough that we'll see all the horns down tonight. We'll see all of that of people going nuts. UConn has a great fan base, and they're going to go after Texas. So It really, I'm just kind of hoping they stay in it at least for a half and don't get blown out. But I really don't have much hope that they, the way to win this is literally you just have to have like three guys on this team have to have the night of the life shooting.
Which isn't impossible.
No, it's not.
But it's not likely. I don't think this game is scary at all. And I think that because I expect them to get blown out by 30 points. So like if you expect disappointment and you can never be disappointed.
I don't know. I feel like this team could do it. And we're going into the half. It's 65-3.
It won't be that bad, but it won't be close.
No, it will not be that bad. Because Modest will get fouled like six times. Modest is just getting fouled nonstop. Like that dude just knows how to go into people's bodies and get fouls. So he's been there. He had a record most free throws in the game the other night. Most free throws without a miss. Tied for the record. 14. They said that he changed his free throw routine. So if you're not a basketball player, you don't know. When you shoot free throws, you do the same thing every time. So it becomes routine. So everything about the free throw becomes me and my buddy, we're both basketball players. When we're playing horse and stuff, we always do eyes closed free throws. Because if you're playing with somebody else who's not used to doing that, didn't train to shoot free throws all the time and stuff, then that's a really hard shot. But if you just know how to do it, it doesn't matter what court you're on or whatever, you just kind of get a couple shots up with the same routine, and then it's muscle memory. And so you can just kind of hit it, and you're still not gonna, you're probably going to shoot 70% on it. It's not great, 60-70% on an eyes closed free throw, but that's better than most other people shoot on it who are not used to having a routine. So Modest changed up what he did.
Mike G, I don't think that's ever going to be an issue.
Yeah, no, we're with you, Mike. No one here is going to call them that. Don't worry. We're playing Tennessee or 10 or that school that Rick Barnes went to. One of those is what we're going to call them.
We could call them TU, but I think that would be kind of lame.
No, yeah.
Yeah. The real UT. That's all it is. The real UT is Texas, and it always will be.
It always will be. All right, Matt, it is time to make some picks for this week. I'll tell you, we have one college game, which you know what it is because there is one college game this week of Division I college basketball or college football. It's an Army-Navy game, so we're going to pick that. I'm going to give you the option. I have five NFL games ready to go that are good picks. We can go all five NFL, or if you want to try and pick a different sport or a different level of football, I'm willing to find some games there too. But I was going to leave it up to you if you want to do five NFL or you want to go somewhere else.
Let's just do five NFL.
It's easier to go. We know the team is better. But because next week we'll have college football playoffs, so it'll be more college. We'll have four college football games on it next week. But we'll start off here with Army versus Navy. This is Navy favored by 7 points, Matt. By the way, our scores right now, you are at 36. I am at 39. I got three last week. You got two. I'm expanding my lead right now. The Bama-Georgia game was the split on us there. Bama-Georgia. I had Georgia winning. You had Bama winning. So 36-39 right now. My lead, Army versus Navy, 7-point spread there. I played at the Ravens Stadium. M&T Bank Stadium, so it is a neutral site game for Army and Navy. Navy's 9-2, Army is 6-5, but I feel like you had a take on this yesterday, man.
Yeah, Army's, I think, lost five games. Four of them have been by one score. They play teams close. This is obviously a very emotional matchup for Army, I guess. I mean, I don't really particularly care about the Army-Navy game, but I always feel myself pulling for Army. I couldn't tell you why, but maybe because my grandfather was in the Army. I don't know. And my other grandfather was in the Navy. So who knows?
But, you know who that favorite is.
I'm going to go with Army plus 7.
All right. Army plus 7 for Matt. I like the plus 7 for Army. You're right that they do play teams close. This is probably a close game. So we could go either way on this one. But, you know, I'll make it interesting, and I'll go with Navy to keep it interesting and try and, you know, either extend my lead or let you come back a little bit now at the end of college football season. Then we'll look over at the NFL scores. We have a big one in the Bills minus 1.5 at the Patriots, Matt. The Bills minus 1.5 at the Patriots. A big game for the Bills. They've already lost one to the Patriots. Patriots on track to win this division, on track to be maybe the number one seed in the AFC altogether. If they win this game, they're
so wild.
They're on track to do it because then they've beaten the Bills twice in a season. They've won the games they need to win. And then they had the fourth place schedule, so they really did well. And Drake May, this is a big one for him and his MVP quest for Drake May. Nobody saw it coming. Drake May, who North Carolina does not accept anymore because of Bill Belichick, plays for the wrong team. What do you like in this Bills-Patriots game?
I think the Bills need this one. I think they need to flex their muscles a little bit in this division. So I think that they're going to take it. I'm going to take the Bills minus 1.5.
All right.
I know it's on the road, but
I'm going to take the Bills as well. They're not going to lose to the Patriots twice in one season. I get the Patriots are coming off a bye. I get all the things. I can't say that they're going to beat them twice in one season. If they do, man, this Patriots team is annoying and Josh McDaniel's cheating. 100% Josh McDaniel's cheating if this is happening. And we need to launch a full investigation. It's a man who's cheated multiple times in his career. If they beat the Bills twice, 100% he is cheating because there's no other explanation, Matt, for that turnaround that quick. All right. The Ravens are 2.5-point favorites at Cincinnati. Joe Burrow's back. And interesting enough this week, Matt, we have started to see a lot of, we saw the Joe Burrow sad press conference where he announced that he's, you know, going through some things in his personal life and the losses and the injuries and missing the playoffs again. And everything is really taking a toll on him. And he's not happy right now. We've heard a lot of rumors that a lot of teams may be at least inquiring about acquiring a Joe Burrow, saying, Cincinnati, you're too cap strung. How about we get you out of that cap problem? You can try and reset with the young quarterback. We'll take your burden of contract, and we'll take Joe Burrow and put him on our team. Maybe a Minnesota Vikings, maybe a Las Vegas Raiders. Maybe one of these teams calls up and says, we'll give you a bunch of picks and everything else, and we'll take Joe Burrow on our hands because we actually have built a team. And so we'll give him a chance to win. So a lot of that stuff, we'll see. Oh, and CB, I didn't see this. So, yeah, now the Bills for sure. CB says Josh Allen and his wife announced today that she's expecting. So congrats to Josh Allen. A little bit more to play for now. And Joe, I don't think, unless you're saying for you, Joe, you're worth the pick for Dak, but I don't think Dak's good. I don't think Joe Burrow. I don't know. What do you got, Matt? Ravens minus 2.5 at the Bengals.
I'm going Bengals plus 2.5. I know Joe Burrow's struggling, but I think the football field is where you kind of let that all, you can let that all go. And I think the Ravens are trending in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And the Bengals have been playing pretty well offensively lately.
They have.
So I'm going to take the Bengals plus 2.5.
I like that. I'm going to go ahead and go with the Ravens, though. This is a game that I feel is, you know, probably going to be pretty high scoring. Both defenses have shown lapses. You know, Joe Burrow's going to put it up there. I just think Lamar Jackson's going to be able to eat this Cincinnati defense alive. And once we put it into this Ravens offense being able to get rolling against a Bengals defense who hasn't really been there the entire season, I just have to say that I think the Bengals are going to score a lot of points, but it's probably going to be a one-possession game and come down to a late drive, and I'll give it to the Ravens winning it on that late drive. All right, next one for us, Matt. A game of a team that is maybe underachieved at points this season, but still playing well against a team that somehow keeps winning by one score. Packers minus 2.5 at the Broncos.
Broncos cannot be killed. It's plus 2.5 for the Broncos.
Plus 2.5.
I'm taking the Broncos plus 2.5.
I think so this is the only one I'm curious about, this, Matt. does Micah Parsons get a hold called on the other team this week? Now that it has come out and been very present that he has not gotten one all season, do they get one this week? It's kind of the, all right, you're right. We should probably call one here and there. But I'm with you. The Broncos have been in one-score games all season, and they keep winning them. So as much as I'd like to say, I think the Broncos' time has come, and this is the team to finally get them off, and the Packers are starting to play better at the end of the season. I think it'll come down to some BS. The Packers feel like they lost a few of these games already this season as well. So I'm going to say the Broncos as well on this pick, Matt. All right. Lions. You
picked the Ravens, right?
I picked the Ravens, yes.
Okay.
Lions at the Rams. Lions at the Rams. Rams are favored by 6. Rams are favored by 6. Lions at the Rams. This is one that the line feels a little bigger than I thought it would be. I know Lions have not played well, especially away from home. So it's a little questionable, and the Rams are playing great football, but you expect the Lions to get a little bit more respect than this. I would expect them to get a little bit more respect, maybe a 5-4 point game, 3.5, but 6 points on this one.
Rams are the best team in football. Give me the Rams, -6.
Not even a thought. Not even a care in the world on that one. Do you happen to know anybody on that roster?
I do.
Oh, yeah? Is that person maybe up for an MVP award this year?
He is. He's the best player in football this year.
Yes.
At the ripe old age of 38, I believe.
Matt's best friend, Matt Stafford. No, best friend in the whole wide world. Lions and the Rams. I'm going to take the Rams, too. The Lions, just Jared Goff. Like, without Ben Davis, they haven't been great on the road. They're still pretty good, play pretty good at home. But on the road, they just – Jared Goff's problems seem to pop back up more on the road than they do at home. Final game here, Matt. It's one I didn't think we'd be picking, one that I didn't think would be a nice game. It's Monday Night Football. It's the Miami Dolphins at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers are favored by 3. Miami has been running roughshod. The Steelers. T.J. Watt, Matt. T.J. Watt in the hospital getting some needle treatment for pain relief. A very common thing in the NFL, apparently. They get these, and the Pittsburgh Steelers staff pokes one of those needles a little too deep, and the needle punctures his lung. So he has a collapsed lung and has to go to the hospital to get treatment, and questionable now for the weekend with a collapsed lung. But Pittsburgh Steelers medical staff not helping out the cause right now with a collapsed lung from T.J. Watt from a needle treatment for pain relief. Not what you want to see. Definitely, if our show was in Pittsburgh, whoever that medical staff was meathead of the day. Then how do you injure probably the best player on your team in T.J. Watt? But you get Aaron Rodgers here against Tua Tagovailoa. Matt, what do you think? Dolphins at Steelers. Steelers -3.
I think TJ Watt's probably not going to play. I hope he's okay. That's incredibly scary. But the Dolphins have just been really good lately, and I think that they continue the surge, and I got them +3.
All right. I like that. I'm also taking the Dolphins because you know why, Matt? They did the winning method, Matt. We know what the winning method is. They put Quinn Ewers in a football game, and then they benched him.
Yeah.
And that is how you win football games, kids.
You can say that that's why you're doing it, Patrick. I know that you're doing it because you don't want to have a different game than me so that I don't catch up to you in 1 week.
I picked two different games than you.
Yeah, but you didn't do the third.
I didn't do the third because I'm not picking Aaron Rodgers. I could have gone with Packers, I guess. I could have gone with Packers. I didn't. But that would probably be the one. Maybe the Patriots I could have gone with. But no, look, you can catch up 2 more. You can be right back on my heels. Most likely, though, I'm going to get both of those right and just blow away, just start to pull further away.
It's certainly possible.
Yeah. So you're going Army. I'm going Navy in the Army-Navy game tomorrow. Navy -7. We're both taking the Bills -1.5 versus the Patriots. Ravens minus 2.5. I'm taking the Ravens minus 2.5 at the Bengals, which you are taking the Bengals. Packers minus 2.5 at the Broncos. We're both saying the Broncos somehow win that game. Lions at the Rams. Rams are minus 6 in that game. I didn't write that down. Rams, we both have the Rams covering 6. And the Dolphins at the Steelers minus 3. Both of us taking the team that has benched Quinn Ewers. It's the way to do it. It's the way to win games, man. You got to be able to bench somebody.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, that's the only reason that, you know, Texas won the Mississippi State game is because they benched Arch Manning for Matthew Caldwell, you know?
That's what it was. You got to, sometimes you got to do it. Joe, we're just joking. We know. Quinn Ewers is a rookie, and I do hope he gets a chance. It seems like he's having fun, and they are, and he's being a good teammate. He did. I'm surprised he got into a game at all this season, so pretty happy that he got into a game and looked pretty decent in it. Maybe showing some people maybe they should have given him another look. Who knows if he would have gone to Indy. I know Indy probably didn't want to take him because of they'd already had Sam Ehlinger and the whole Sam Ehlinger thing. And, like, that was, too, the with Phillip Rivers getting signed. And, you know, I kept getting asked about Sam Ehlinger. And I don't know. I think he's still in the practice squad of Denver and going between the practice squad and the regular roster at some points. But I know he went to Denver after this season. But you're like, you have to remember, he was an Ursae guy. Ursae loved Ehlinger and wanted to keep him around. I don't think he was ever a Shane Steichen guy. So I don't think that was the guy they were going to go look to, even though he knew the playbook and everything else with the injuries. I don't think that was really where they wanted to go with it. And so that's why they'd rather go there than try and sign Sam Ehlinger off the practice squad. I don't think Sam wanted to go back to there. Sam was like, he kind of kept me just on fifth string or whatever for so many years and not letting me go anywhere. I'd rather at least go to Denver and learn to play a different way and learn from a different coach who maybe likes us. And Joe, the Colts can't really tank. I mean, they're tanking for like the 17th pick at this point. They won too many games already. So you might as well see if you got anything with old man Rivers. Which I think old man Rivers is a better nickname than Indiana Jones now.
No. There's nothing better than Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones is quite possibly my favorite fictional character in the history of media. So
there we go. Yep. CB. It was like, it sucks, but the reality was Jim Ursay genuinely apparently loved Sam Ehlinger, like loved him as a person. And so he wanted him to be on the team. And the problem was his play style didn't fit with what Shane Steichen wanted. And which is a little weird because it feels like Sam Ehlinger could do what Jalen Hurts does. Maybe not the same way, but you know what I mean? Like, if you were able to make Jalen Hurts work, shouldn't you be able to make a Sam Ehlinger work?
Yeah.
But he wanted more of a, he wanted somebody more, like, because you can tell when you have to go to Daniel Jones, you know what you're looking for, a certain type of guy. And so it sucked that Sam went there and just never really got a chance to do anything. And now he's in Denver behind Bo Nix, so it's probably not much going to happen there either.
Sam probably should have come back to Texas for one more run. You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, who knows?
Maybe he's a Heisman winner. Probably not. But
probably not. Yeah, that team was not great that year. It would have been better, but team was not great overall that season. So maybe he saw the writing on the wall. That one is like, you know what? Let me not leave with that terrible. All right, Matt. We do have some other games in the NFL this weekend. The Cowboys playing this weekend as well, taking on, if I remember correctly, they are taking on the Vikings. They are taking on your favorite player in the SEC, or in the NFL, J.J. McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. Worst quarterback in the history of football.
Dallas favored by 5.5 at home here. That's how much the Vikings have fallen. Is this a game where Dak's going to be able to figure out Brian Flores' defense, that some teams are figuring out a little bit more, and the defense can handle a J.J. McCarthy-led offense, Matt? What do you like about this Cowboys-Vikings game? Is this one where Dallas can stay on track to try and be basically win out and be an above 500 team?
So I feel like there's two things that can happen in this game. Number one, Dallas wins by 3 scores. They pick off J.J. McCarthy a couple times. They make him fumble another time. and they win the football game going away. George Pickens has a huge bounce back game. CeeDee Lamb goes off. The other thing is that since I have been such a JJ McCarthy hater for so long, and the Cowboys are my football team, he's going to have the best game of his career and the only good game of his career.
He had a good game last week.
No, I mean the only like truly great game of his career.
Oh, great.
I'm talking like 350, 400 yards, four touchdowns.
120 rushing.
Like 100 yards rushing. Like it's going to be one of those two things. I tend to lean towards the latter because that's just how my luck typically goes in situations like this. But I'm going to pick the Cowboys.
Yeah, 163 for three touchdowns last week.
163, big deal. I did predict the Cowboys.
They won 31-0. But you got the Cowboys being able to go here and be able to get a win?
Yeah, I just think they're a better football team.
All right. Look, I'm glad that you have faith in your Cowboys this week. I'm hoping that this is the best defensive output by this secondary all season. Just to make you feel, it would make you feel so happy. It's on Sunday Night Football, so.
I hope that JJ McCarthy goes like 3 of 21 for negative 10 yards and four picks.
Yeah. And Texter says it's also where they drafted Riley Leonard, and he's a similar QB as Ellinger. And he also says they tried to sign Sam Ellinger, but he turned them down, which I could believe that Sam was like, I don't want to go back there. Like, you guys suck. You guys put me at four string over and over again. I'm good. Good. You guys, like, I try to do everything. So I get that. Vikings at Cowboys, though. I think this is a Cowboys got to win this one. You got to win this one. With your upcoming schedule, you can't let this one get away. Because if you let this one get away, you are at best 500.
Yeah.
With the Chargers coming up, and then Commanders and Giants, you should be able to win those two, but you may lose one of those. So you got to win this one if you want to have the chance to have the winning record. You have to win this one. It's very important to try and be that, to be a 9-win team. Also, we get noon on Fox. We get the Cardinals at the Texans. Texans 9.5-point favorites in this game, Matt. Jacoby Brissett has given us troubles in the past with the Colts, with the Patriots. But it feels like this defense is really starting to get into its home run place. If I was Marvin Harrison Jr., I wouldn't want to play in this game. He hasn't been really good all season. And then you get to go play against a secondary who's been great. This one is for Texas, for the Texans. You really hope that the offense can get going a little bit more and not have to be so late in the game when it gets going.
I just can't trust that the Texans are going to beat anybody by 9.5. Because I don't trust their offense. I wouldn't be shocked if they like shut out the Cardinals, though. So maybe they win like 10-0 and maybe they do cover. I do think they're going to win the game.
I mean, so they beat the Chiefs by 10. They beat the Jags by 7. They beat the Ravens by 34. Beat the Titans by 26.
It's hard to like put money on that. You know what I mean?
I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. And the Cardinals haven't been very good. I think this is a game where they could get it going. And, you know, kind of put that false sense of security into the offense because they're starting to play a little bit better. The offensive line's starting to play a little bit better. Woody Marks is healthy for this game. They end up playing the Raiders, Chargers, and Colts in their last four games, or last three after this one. So, again, if they win this one, then they will move on to 9-5, be in a position where they can challenge the Jags. If things work out right, you can challenge the Jags. In this division, but the Jags also get an easy win this week playing Brady Cook and the Jets. They're 13.5-point favorites in this game. Let's go, Jets. Let's go, Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. And Joe, yes, I do believe that they're going to be moving on from Kyler at the end of this season. It feels like, you know, there's a decent chance Gannon is gone, the coach is gone. And they just say, reset, bring in a new coach, and let him go try and find a quarterback.
Go play baseball, man. You've had your fun.
I don't think he wants to play baseball either. I think he made his money and he's fine. He's like, I'll go sit on the bench for the next 4 or 5 years, make my millions, and then I'll just play video games. Like, I don't care. I just don't care enough about this. So I don't know if there's a right place for him to go. I don't know if it's like, if you're in Atlanta, you look at him and say, well, we don't want to fully abort, but maybe we can bring him in and he could help us out. Maybe just keep this going a little bit more and it could be fun to watch. Maybe if you're like, I don't know, maybe a Minnesota, you try and put him in a progression based offense where he doesn't have to make decisions. Cause it's pure progression offense in Minnesota, which is basically, instead of you going reading a defense and making your decisions, you'd literally just follow whatever the coach says. So maybe that's better for him in that kind of situation. I mean, I hope he doesn't end up on Vegas. Doesn't feel like a good spot for him. By the way, I saw Diego Pavia saying that he wants to play for the Raiders. It was like, Pavia. It's not a good sign when you're like, yeah, I want to live in Vegas. And you're like, if I was the Raiders, I'd be like, all right, cross Pavia off our list. Oh, the guy who's hanging out with Johnny Manziel, the known drug addict, Johnny Manziel. Oh, cool. Yo, yeah, let him come to Vegas. Nothing. What bad could happen? The guy who constantly is on Instagram thirsting after models. What could go wrong? Bring him to Vegas. I don't know, man. It seems like a good pickup.
I hope he goes undrafted.
I mean, he might, but he's going to end up on a team. Someone will pick him up.
Yeah. I don't know. If he didn't have the personality that he has, I don't know that he'd be a Heisman. I mean, he'd probably be a Heisman candidate, I guess, but I don't know that anybody would pick him up in the NFL draft. Like, he has made a business out of himself, and props to him for doing that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's an Arizona guy that they go after in like an undrafted place. Oh,
dude, don't put that guy in Scottsdale.
He's from New Mexico. It feels close enough.
I know, but like, do you know what kind of people live in Scottsdale?
Pavia.
That's just as bad as Vegas, man.
Yeah, it's not though, but it's somehow worse. It's
Cleveland Jets. Please take a flyer on this guy.
Oh, he'll play in one of those places.
Imagine a quarterback competition between Diego Pavia and Shedeur Sanders.
Oh my God. No, nobody wants that. No, I mean, content aggregators want that. People who just make content.
Cleveland Browns on SI wants that, I can tell you that.
Yeah. But this at the end, yeah, this is a Texans and Cardinals is going to be another one they really need to win and just stay on the right track. I'd really love to see the offense kind of get going a little bit more in this game. I think it would help them out in the long term a little bit more. If you can get it going in the next two games, you and then the Raiders start to feel a little bit better as you go into those last couple games of this season. Mm-hmm. All right, Matt, let's take our second break of the show. Come back. I got a couple different topics to throw by you, see what you think about them. If anybody else has anything they want us to hit here in the last couple of minutes, we'll get to our meat of the day and wrap it up for the week here in 2.5 minutes here on Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, I'm Hayden Covert. Welcome to Covert Buick GMC of Bee Cave, your home in the Hill Country for new and pre-owned Buick and GMC vehicles. With beautiful inventory arriving daily, including the GMC Yukon, Sierra 1500, and Buick Enclave, you'll be certain to find the perfect vehicle at an incredible deal. Our service department is also open for all your vehicle maintenance needs. Visit us today for a test drive. Covert, born and raised in Austin. We are professional grade.
Altstadt Beer, the best beer that you can find all throughout the great state of Texas. Y'all know I've been a fan of Altstadt for years now, and if you try it, I think you will be too. If you've already tried it, you know exactly what I am talking about. Altstadt is brewed locally in Fredericksburg, but available all over the state of Texas. So if you're tuned in Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, it does not matter. You can find Altstadt at a local grocery store or liquor store. They've got a bunch of different brews. Something for every beer drinker out there. The Lager, the Kolsch, those are their two flagship beers, both award winners. They are fantastic. The Altstadt Light sacrifices on calories but does not sacrifice on the taste. They've got a great pils, tons of great seasonals as well. I'm telling you, one sip and you won't go back to the other beers you've been drinking in the past. It is the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities. No regrets.
Hey, y'all. I'm Camille McKay.
And I'm Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations.
The old man and I are here to give you your summer weather forecast. It's hot.
That's right, kid.
Which means it's time for pool parties, grilling burgers, and taking a beach vacation, right?
Well, I don't know about a vacation, but Audiovisual brings more heat than any tropical destination.
It was worth a shot. I'll settle for some outdoor speakers.
You know, Audiovisual can do a lot more than that. We provide outdoor video screens, audio systems, landscape lighting, even solar shades for your patio to keep the Texas heat at bay.
Well, I'm sold. Let's wrap this up. I'm ready to lounge on a floaty and listen to some smooth jazz.
Well, that sounds wonderful, but some smooth reggae is the way to go this summer.
Good thing we can listen to both with the Sonos sound system. I call dibs on the floaty, though. Peace out.
Kid, wait a second. Give us a call at 512-255-8678 or visit us at avconsultations.com. That's 512-255-8678.
Back here on Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Wrapped it up here on a Friday. Solid joke there, TB. Solid joke. Pavia Sanders and Deshaun Watson walk into a bar in Cleveland. Cleveland doesn't want that. Cleveland doesn't want that. And yeah, it sucks. Bijan said something that was a game that we all in Texas played as kids. We know the name's offensive now. He wasn't thinking about it. He apologized. I know there's uproar. There's uproar about everything. You just got to kind of understand. Like,
what
I work
did
with
say again?
He called the game where, you know, where you find one guy and whoever has the ball, everybody tries to tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say the same thing, but we all know what the game is called. and so we have grown up in Texas. We all played that game. And then at a certain point, somebody heard it and was like, whoa, you can't say that. And you're like, oh, okay. So he knows. He apologized. He was just having fun with football people and forgot he was on a camera and you shouldn't say a thing. But this is the thing you always say with comedians. There's always going to be a group of people who are very loud about it and they're going to forget in 2 weeks and nobody cares again. It's football. They don't watch it. It's not affecting ratings. It's not affecting advertising. People are going to get upset about it for a minute because they're upset about a lot of things in life that doesn't really signify much. If you go out in your life, most people go, oh, yeah, no, you shouldn't say that. And you go, yeah, I know I messed up. And you go, okay, don't say it again. If you make a habit of doing it, we're going to get really mad at you. If you consistently say things like this, then it's a problem. But if you slip up one time and you go, no, it's literally just a thing we played in Texas and nobody thought anything about it. Because we, you know, especially we played in elementary school, we didn't know what the word meant. So
yeah,
it sucks. But I
don't be John Rocker, be Bijan Robinson.
Yes, I think yes. John Rocker's was much more intentional and hated. Matt, we get a NBA Cup action this weekend. You gonna be watching a lot of the NBA Cup?
Zero.
Oh man, Spurs versus Thunder. You're not caring about Spurs versus Thunder.
I am not caring about the. Until I have to, Patrick.
Wimby's supposed to be back for the game. Thunder are 24-1, Matt. 24-1.
About to be 24-2.
There you go, Matt. I love it. So NBA Cup action on Saturday. The semifinals are the Spurs versus the Thunder and the Knicks versus the Magic. The finals then I believe are on Tuesday. And then around that are all the makeup games for all the teams who didn't play. And they schedule 80 games in the NBA now. And then everyone who doesn't make the cup doesn't get those games added. Sorry, had a cough there. But we see these games tonight. It unfortunately does mean the Spurs will play the Thunder 5 times this season, which is not a lot of fun because they're in the same division. So the 24-1 Thunder, you get to play them 5 times. Best team in the NBA. Not a ton of fun there. Another thing happening this weekend. Matt, have you ever been a wrestling fan?
When I was a kid, yeah. I was a big Sting fan when I was younger.
He just retired. John Cena's retirement match, Saturday night. Any chance you tune in to Saturday night's main event to watch John Cena's retirement match?
You know, I don't think that that would go over very well in this household in terms of what we're watching on a Saturday night. So my guess is no.
Oh, come on. She can't see you when you watch it. But that is, I may tune in. I may tune in because there's not a lot else going on a Saturday night. So I will see if I tune into that. Let me fix my stream real quick. I don't know why it does that at the end of a show on a Friday, trying to make me look all blurry like Barbara Walters. Let's get to our meathead of the day then, Matt, since you're not going to watch the NBA Cup, you're not going to watch John Cena retire. I don't know what you're doing on a Saturday night. If you're not watching the Spurs Thunder on one TV and John Cena retiring on another TV, seems like your priorities are out of whack. Joe, the players care. Not all of them, but the players, most of the players, the players on good teams care. Players on bad teams don't care. Let's hit our meathead of the day. Let's start with the, you know what? We'll start with this one. It's a little bit crazier. Sark got this guy a Heisman, but I don't think he understands how plane crashes work.
Yeah, they're playing unified Heisman.
You gonna look out that window.
that plane go down. Bird going down.
That's what I say. Why do they make us put seatbelts on the plane? It's over with, regardless. They be like, sir, can you buckle up for what?
Yeah.
It's over with.
Wow.
You got a point.
I be thinking about that, fam.
Plane go down?
If the plane going down,
what you be thinking of me doing?
You want to know what I was thinking like? Damn, like, okay, they be going down. I'm trying to wait till they get close to the ground.
Trying to jump out. That might be on the chain.
I think.
That is Devontae Smith with his way to think about what he would do in the case of a plane crashes, which the reason we wear the seatbelt is because people do survive plane crashes. So there's a reason. Also, if like a breach of a plane, sometimes they can land it even if something pops out. But if the air pressure changes, you get sucked out of the plane. If you're wearing your seatbelt, you won't get sucked out of a plane. That's why you wear a seatbelt. But his
also,
plan is
in case there is terrible turbulence, so you don't jump out of your seat and hit your head on the ceiling.
Yes. Yeah. That's another good point, Matt. But the best is his theory of what I would do is as the plane's going down, I guess open a door. I don't know how he's jumping out of this plane at that point, but as it's going down, wait till he's pretty close to the ground and then jump out of the plane and then he'll be fine. I figure he's going to hit the ground rolling probably, you know, do one of those moves.
I feel like he's watched way too many Fast and the Furious movies.
I think he has. I think he's watched too many of these movies.
Like Vin Diesel driving off of a ramp and jumping out of his car and catching someone midair and then turning his back and landing into another windshield.
I do think they need to make a video. The Eagles need to make a video now of a plane crashing and him jumping out and hitting the ground running and then catch a football. I think you need to make that edit. And then a nice one on a Friday. If you haven't seen this one yet, the Dolphins winning because they benched this guy.
118! Hunt!
Hey, can.
Alvin, hunt!
That's Quinn Ewers in the Dolphins locker room trying to make a Christmas tree jump off sides, which it does. He does get the Christmas tree to jump off sides. But that is him getting along well with his Dolphins teammates. Good to see ex-Texas players and guys like that be able to go in and make the best of being in the NFL in whatever situation they're in. So cool to see Quinn Ewers doing well in Miami.
Quinn is the best at getting people to jump off sides in the entire NFL, as evidenced by that video. So he should get a multi-million dollar extension.
I mean, if the Eagles going to pick him up, run the fake tush push, get you guys to jump. All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for another fun week of shows. We'll be back Monday to keep on keeping on as we start to get into playoffs week here on the show. We'll talk about Texas and UConn, NBA Cup, all the fun stuff. We come back on a Monday edition of the show. But until then, Be kind, be safe, keep your underwear clean, and we'll see you right back here on Monday for more from Open Gym.